from WILL's Illinois Newsroom. This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Tuesday, January 26th. Some activists want to eliminate sworn officers on college campuses. But what do campus police think? We'll hear the second in a three-part series from Illinois Newsroom's Lee Gaines in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. The state of Illinois will be setting up more than two dozen mass vaccination sites statewide in the coming weeks to facilitate the next phase of coronavirus vaccine distribution. As Hannah Meisel reports, Governor J.B. Pritzker visited one of those sites yesterday.
Pritzker toured a new mass vaccination site in Tinley Park, southwest of Chicago. The mass vaccination site can give up to 9,000 shots per week. And when vaccine supply from the federal government increases, it'll double to 18,000. While Pritzker says similar sites will launch all across the state in the next few weeks, he's urging patience given the short supply of vaccines nationwide.
The biggest challenge, honestly, is without more vaccines coming in, you don't want to set up sites and have them sit idle when you only have 120,000 new doses coming in for first doses per week.
President Joe Biden says he'll invoke the Defense Production Act to ramp up vaccine supply, but a market increase in supply could take weeks or even months. I'm Hannah Meisel.
All high school sports will be allowed to play in regions that are in Phase 4 of Illinois' COVID-19 reopening plan. Regions 1, 2, 3, 5, and 6 now meet the criteria for looser restrictions. Lower-risk sports have started practicing. Officials at IHSA meet Wednesday to decide when to start competitions and when basketball, the only higher-risk winter sport, can begin. Matt Troja is with the IHSA. He says the COVID numbers are worse now than when the state canceled some sports, including football, late last summer, so it's essential schools do not relax safety measures.
We need to remain diligent with wearing masks, with socially distanced. You know, just because sports have started doesn't mean that anything is over. The folks at IDPH have been very clear with us that if the numbers backslide, then sports could certainly go away again.
Athletes must wear masks during competition in sports where you can't social distance, like basketball. There won't be unnecessary touching, like high fives between free throws or what's described as go team hand raises. The education reform bill passed by Illinois lawmakers earlier this month includes a change in funding for the Aim High Student Grant Program. Two local lawmakers disagree on whether the change helps students. Illinois Newsroom's Jim Meadows reports.
The Aim High program gives merit-based grants to Illinois students attending one of the state's public universities. Those universities match state funding on a one-for-one basis to provide the grants. But Democratic State Representative Carol Ammons of Urbana says some state schools, including ones with higher minority enrollment, don't have enough matching money to use all of the available state money.
So we came up with a progressive sliding scale that would provide support for those institutions who are much smaller with smaller endowments.
Republican State Senator Chapin Rose, who worked on the original Aim High bill, says lowering the matching requirement reduces the total amount of grant money for students. But Ammons says the lower matching requirement allows schools to access state funding for students that they couldn't use in the past. I'm Jim Meadows, Illinois Newsroom.
The education reform bill passed the General Assembly during the lame duck session this month and has been sent to the governor for his signature. State public health officials reported fewer than 3,000 new COVID-19 cases in Illinois yesterday. The number represents a steady decline in daily cases from a peak more than 2 weeks ago of around 9,200 cases. IDPH also reported 49 additional deaths related to COVID-19. State officials also reported 8 additional cases of the COVID-19 variant that was first identified in the United Kingdom. The 8 patients are aged from 12 to 63 years old and all live in Chicago or surrounding Cook County. They joined the first COVID-19 variant case in Illinois, also from Chicago. Meanwhile, Illinois' 7-day case positivity rate continues to decline, standing at 4.7%. Still to come, we'll hear from campus police about their response to calls from activists to defund their departments. That story from Illinois Newsroom is next on 217 Today.
Food is at the center of our lives here in Illinois. All of us eat it, many of us grow it, some of us might be struggling to afford it. I'm Dana Cronin, Illinois Newsroom's agriculture reporter. I'm working to tell the stories that affect us all, from the food supply chain to food insecurity. Listen for my reports on AM 580 and FM 90.9, and look for my stories online at illinoisnewsroom.org.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. The call to defund or abolish police departments is not limited to neighborhoods. Some activists also want to eliminate sworn officers on college campuses. Illinois Newsroom education reporter Lee Gaines spent months talking to students and activists as part of a series we're bringing to you this week. Today, she talks to the campus police who say they're necessary to protect the people in their communities and their institutions' assets.
University of Illinois police officer Kyle Krikovich says every night on the job is unique. But on a Friday night late last October, he's called to an incident that captures the spirit of 2020.
So there's a dumpster fire.
It turns out to be a big dumpster fire. Flames lick the side of an adjacent apartment building in Urbana. Krikovich pulls a fire extinguisher out of his squad car. He keeps one there for situations like this. However,
this doesn't happen every day. That's kind of fun.
I'm tagging along with Krikovich to get an idea of what a typical night for campus police officers is like. In addition to the dumpster fire, Krikovich helped a couple students whose car ran out of gas, and he wrote a traffic ticket to a teenage driver during the four late-night hours I spent with him.
I'm definitely giving you a citation again.
Krikovich is in his mid-20s. He's been a campus police officer for nearly 3 years, and he grew up in the area and graduated from the U of I.
This is home. And I want to make sure that everyone that comes here, whether they're from Chicago or they're an international student coming from, you know, China or wherever, that they feel that this is home too and that they can be safe and get the education that they want.
But some students and faculty at the U of I are calling on the institution to defund and disband its campus police force. Here's U of I graduate student Austin Hoffman speaking at a protest last fall.
Instead, what we want is police out of our classrooms, out of our dorms, off our campus, and out of our society.
Activists say people of color are over-policed by campus officers, and data from the department shows that between 2016 and 2019, more than half of the people taken to jail by UIPD were Black. Black students make up only about 7% of the U of I student body, and Black people make up an estimated 12% of the area's metro population. Meanwhile, most of the UIPD officers are white. I asked the chief of UIPD, Alice Carey, why Black people appear to be overrepresented in the arrest data. She says systemic racism in other parts of society, like housing and healthcare, contribute to the high numbers of people of color getting arrested.
You know, we don't dictate who commits crime. It doesn't come with a color. It comes with an act.
University policing has evolved from the watchmen of the late 1800s to looking and acting like city police forces today. That's according to John Sloan. He's a professor emeritus at the University of Alabama at Birmingham, and he studied campus policing for more than two decades. He says campus police often use the same weapons, technology, and training as municipal officers. And Sloan says they're also impacted by systemic racism, and the reforms the departments need are vast.
We've screwed it all up. And so the question then becomes, all right, if we accept that we've screwed it all up, can we fix it? And I think the answer to that is yes.
Sloan says fixing these departments will take a lot of time and resources. Alice Carey, the chief of UIPD, says her department is committed to doing better. She says they've created an outreach team, and she hopes to hire more women and officers of color, among other reforms. But she says,
we're not all out doing the wrong things of what you see on television. There's some very compassionate, empathetic law enforcement professionals that are here to help.
Both Carey and U of I police officer Kyle Krikovich agree that police, including campus officers, are asked to address too many things, from homelessness to mental health.
You know, we do so much. I don't think the right message is defund us. It's work with us. Let's find other money to enact that change.
Krikovich says if police weren't responsible for addressing so many of society's and the university community's problems, then maybe you won't need as many officers like him. I'm Lee Gaines, Illinois Newsroom.
You can hear the final part of this series tomorrow on 217 Today, where we focus on solutions. You can also find the full story at illinoisnewsroom.org. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says we'll see cloudy skies with a chance of freezing drizzle or snow flurries and a high of 36 degrees. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Olivia Butts. Reporting today contributed by Hannah Meisel, Peter Medlin, Jim Meadows, and Lee Gaines. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Molneen. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.